Good morning, everyone. We are going to call the meeting to order. It's so nice to see everyone and to know that you're all chatting and you have a fun social life ahead of our meeting. I want to begin by thanking everyone for all that you do. I know that this commitment is that we're all here together to make Orange County a better place to age. So thank you for all that you do. And I'm looking forward to the discussion today. So we are now right now our inspiration with Amina.
Thank you, Meredith. Good morning, everybody. I came across some quotes that I'd like to share with everybody today. One of them is which, the first one by Desmond MacArthur. In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives a message of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, so long are you young. When the wires are all down and our heart is covered with the snow of pessimism and the eyes of cynicism, then and only then, are you growing old? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. So that is absent today, so I have asked Dean to please lead us in the budget.
Please, Ryan. I'm aware I'm beginning to get old, now with the old man in. You face your hands in retirement. As we renew our pledge to the visible sign of freedom in the world, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated.
Now we are on a roll call with Secretary Dave Tetlock, just back from the other side of the world.
There's not insulting. Darlene Edinburgh.
Present.
Okay. We got Debbie Major.
Here.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Lavelle Brewer.
Present.
Elizabeth Music.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Well, let me show this to you. Meredith.
Present.
Lynette. Would you try that first?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Perfect. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Howard Park.
Here.
Dean Hernandez.
Here.
You want to repeat that? I didn't hear it. Ken Gideon.
Here.
Marianne Klinger.
Here.
Beck Levin. Felix Gomez. Crystal Myers.
Present.
Patty Mutant.
Delayed in traffic.
Okay. Ann Mudrake.
Present.
Robert Nelson.
Here.
Johnny Nichols.
Here.
Rachel Owens.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Irene Rose.
Present.
Present. Amina Santander.
Present.
Barbara Sendava.
Sendava.
Sendava. Thank you. Martin Simonoff.
Simonoff, yes.
Here. Barbara Sloan.
Present.
We have Sandy Spann.
Present.
Nathan Steele.
Cynthia Hector.
Present.
Keith Moose. Dave Wheeler. Here. And I'm sure we have a court.
Thank you. And then would you like to invite people to complete the optional payment survey? So you were invited to complete the optional senior service hour if you would like to, correct? And then we're going to go with them today?
Yes.
Thank
you. Good. I think we're in front of your name, right? I would. Please complete and return to me.
Dave, it's been 50. They take staff.
Yes. The no board, longer. The executive board will be doing that. It's meeting for the same areas. No committees anymore. So we're probably waiting that for the moment before. And with more instruction about it. So completed for now. It's still all going under the right there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now we are in public comments on our agenda. At this time, members of the public may address the commission. Do we have any public comments?
No, it's not public.
And now we're on to introductions. We have several new members with us. I would like to invite you to say a few words about yourself, and we'll start with Lynn. Everyone, I'm sorry. My first meeting.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am a long-term care ombudsman with the House on Aging, so I get into a lot of this year.
So we're happy to have you.
Thanks.
And where do you, what city are you from?
Irvine.
City of Irvine. Awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And then Barbara, I'd like to invite you to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Barbara Sandala. Sandy is a close friend of mine who invited me to join. I've been to a couple of meetings just observing.
Now you're at the table.
I'm at the table. I live in the Little Hills and I've lived in Orange County since 1990. And I'm glad to participate and learn what's going on.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And Elizabeth, I also wanted to welcome you and invite you to say a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. My name is Elizabeth Breyer. I've been with the county for almost 15 years. Office on Aging, almost 5 years. My previous position was in special assignment with Supervisor KP.
Elizabeth.
Louder. Okay, my name is Elizabeth Breyer, and I've been with the county for almost 15 years. And collectively with the Office on Aging for 5. And my previous assignment, I was with Supervisor Doug Shafee. And I'm back, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm taking over Pauline's role.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and welcome to all of our new folks. We're glad that you've joined us. Now we are going to have our presentation. We've been looking forward to this. We're going to be hearing from the Caregiver Resource Center of Orange County. As a reminder, when Jean and I had the opportunity to meet with the Board of Supervisors at the end of last year, one of the top issues that they identified that they wanted us to give feedback on is caregiver supports and resources. So Jack White was unable to be here today, so it's my pleasure to introduce Karen Rojas and Rachel, is this my?
Yes, that's my.
Who are going to be giving the presentation. We are so glad that you're here, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We're really glad to be here. And if our volume's not okay or anything, just let us know.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. I'll try my best with this, but if I do something, please forgive me. So again, my name is Rachel Smythe. This is Karen Flores. We will work with the Caregiver Resource Center, Orange County. And what I do with the Caregiver Resource Center is I am our education coordinator and a licensed clinical supervisor.
That's the dose of Easterfield.
I promise I did not plan that to happen. But and then Karen is our supervisor of operations. We always get her title confused because in the system it looks a little funny, but she is our supervisor of operations. And we've both been with the Caregiver Resource Center for I think Tara's been there about 2.5 years, and I've been here a little over 3 years. And you mentioned that one of the big areas that there was a focus on wanting to get more information and just what's out there for caregivers.
And the gaps.
Exactly. And you know, and one of the things that we get a lot, and I feel like this has been my catchphrase lately, is that we're like this best kept secret, and we don't want to be. So we're so glad to be here. We want people to know about what we do because caregivers are critical. I mean, there are, I didn't put our slides in here on this specific topic, but I mean, it's I think it's $460 billion a year of unpaid work is being done by caregivers. They help reduce hospitalization, they help with follow through on medical issues. So oftentimes it's, you know, we have so much focus on patients or somebody who's ill, but without the person who's taking care of them, we really would be and are heading towards more of a crisis situation. And so programs like ours fill these gaps, and we are actually the only organization in Orange County who specifically serves caregivers. But before I take Tara Thunder away, I'll let her go ahead and talk a little bit about the history of our organization, and then we'll get more into our services. And then we want to make sure that we also have time to answer any questions that you might have. And I think before that, we actually have a short 3-minute video. Hopefully it works, and hopefully the audio is okay.
Caregiver Resource Center OC is a trusted partner for Orange County families who are coping with the physical, emotional, and financial responsibilities of caregiving. Since 1988, CRCOC has assisted thousands of families who care for a frail adult over age 60 or care for an adult who has brain impairment conditions. We are a not-for-profit agency. Therefore, our services are free to family caregivers. By providing families with individualized support services, CRCOC stands apart as the only Orange County agency focusing specifically on the needs of caregivers. Our services include family consultation, assessment, care planning, counseling, and support groups, referrals or resources, and benefit planning. We also conduct seminars, workshops, and conferences in the community that address the health, legal, and emotional needs of caregivers.
My name is Connie Forbes, and I have been a family consultant at CRCOC for 17 years. Family consultants get to work one-on-one with family caregivers to help them navigating their caregiving journey. We begin by providing a personalized needs assessment with care recommendations, and are available to meet in a comfortable and private environment, including virtually. The family consultation provides family caregivers with a roadmap and plans for their unique caregiving journey with an emphasis on self-care and stress reduction skills. I started attending support, and while I had other connections, other groups that I was part of, the support group was a safe place for you to talk. I would be getting information from someone else, and that when I shared my story, I could see head nodding that someone else was understanding what I was going through and addressing with the thought.
My name is Bill McLaurin, and I care for my wife for 15 years, 6 months. My wife was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and we've been very, very understanding, very helpful. The rest of the care is something I look forward to. Just my one day a week, 4 hours, hang on to the bread. We be very isolated. I like it that they hold the meetings in the community, and there are a lot of programs out there, and they have a lot of conferences. But they don't provide support for your partner and clients. So it's difficult to attend those. But unless you have support, sort of provides that support.
Caregiving includes caring for you. And Caregiver Resource Center, OC, is here to support you on this journey. connect with us via phone at 800-543-H312 at caregiveroc.org.
And before I fully turn it over to Karen, does anybody know anybody from the video? Usually somebody recognizes. I always get a message from my colleague Pauline, who's in the video, that somebody's texted her, hey, I was at this meeting and I saw you. So I feel like we've got a couple celebrities in there, and hopefully you'll just get to know them more. But go ahead, Karen, I'll turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us here today. As it was already mentioned in the video, we are a not-for-profit organization. Our target population is family caregivers, and we are the only organization in Orange County where that target population is our primary focus. As it was mentioned, a lot of the other organizations focus on the care receiver. We proudly serve the caregiver. Just a little bit of context when it comes to our history and how long we've been providing services. We have been around since 1988. This is the part that gets a little bit confusing. We are a nonprofit. However, our host agency is now, like, the big parent is Providence. And as you all know, Providence has also merged with all these St. Jude, St. Joe's, et cetera. So because of that, we do like to highlight that we are a program of St. Jude Community Services within Providence Children's Health, Community Health Investment as well. In addition to that, we are part of 11 statewide caregiver resource centers. So for those of you who are unaware, there is actually 11 other sites throughout the state of California. And so if we do get a call from someone who resides in LA County, we are able to provide them the contact information for the center that serves their region. Lastly, we are funded primarily through the Federal Older Americans Act and Family Caregiver Support Program as well. And because of this and the support of our host agency, we are able to provide services at no cost to our clients.
Excuse me, the question. None of that financing then comes through the office or anything.
Correct.
Thank you.
So our mission is to increase the quality of life of caregivers by helping families and communities master the challenges of caregiving. That is our ultimate goal. You don't want to forget about family caregivers, those who are on the front lines, who are providing care to a loved one. Especially when, you know, you go to a doctor's appointment and the focus typically is on your loved one, you know, what's going on with them, what's coming up, what issues do we need to address? And it is usually the family caregiver who's answering all those questions. And so we want to make sure that we're also focusing on their health. So how does someone become a client of the Caregiver Resource Center, OC? So as I already mentioned, we are part of 11 statewide caregiver resource centers throughout the state. So because of that, we are restricted and limited to serving Orange County residents. So the main thing is that we serve those who reside and live in Orange County. We don't require the caregiver and the care recipient, so their loved one, to be living together, but we do require that they both reside in Orange County. How we identify a caregiver is an adult, so someone who is 18 and over, that is caring for one of these two folks. So they're going to be caring either for an individual or a loved one who is under the age of 60, so 18 and over, with an adult onset cognitive impairment or traumatic brain injury. So these are going to be folks, usually but not always, are going to be folks who are parents caring for an adult child, for example, who maybe was in a traumatic car accident and now have a TBI. The other caregiver we serve is someone who is also an adult and is caring for a person who is 60 years or older with a chronic illness and needs significant help with their activities of daily living. I want to point something out. We don't want to focus on chronic illness because sometimes we might be caring for a loved one who is simply frail, and they do need support with their activities of daily living. And this does not have to be, they don't have to be dependent on their caregiver for support to qualify for a program. If you are caring for somebody and you're providing verbal reminders, hey, have you eaten today? Do you need to use the restroom? And they do not have a chronic illness, we still encourage you to give us a call to see if we can be of service and how we can be beneficial to your caregiving situation. And that leads us over to the services that we do provide.
Perfect. And then I also just want to point out that we often will say family caregiver because our name is very confusing for a lot of people, ourselves included sometimes, where we work. As employees, we're referred to as caregivers. And then also we often think of, you know, somebody who maybe works at a skilled nursing facility or comes into the home and provides care to your family member and they're in a paid position. We also call them caregivers. So sometimes we'll say family caregivers just to keep it clear, but just to make it also known is that sometimes we have clients who are the caregiver for a friend or they met somebody through church or a neighbor. So try not to get hung up on family caregiver because it really is just somebody that they're taking care of. And as long as they meet that other criteria that Karen shared, they can qualify for our program.
So again, is this someone who is not paid by the recipient?
So it would be an informal caregiver. What that means is for us, they would have to be okay with taking responsibility as we would call them their primary caregiver. So if it's somebody who is from an agency and maybe comes 4 hours a week and it's a strictly paid position, it really wouldn't be appropriate for registered services with us. But we do have a lot of family caregivers who are the IHSS provider,
right,
things like that, where it gets a little tricky, but they are still able to connect with our program. We're just mindful of that when we take into account the services and how we can best meet their needs and maximize benefits they might already have for their loved one. And as I've done this presentation a number of times now, I kind of want to preface, think of our program as twofold meaning. So our name is Caregiver Resource Center. So think of one part of what we do is really that resource center. So professionals call us, community members call us, caregivers call us, just thinking maybe one resource. I live in Irvine. Can you send me a list of care providers or care agencies that serve my city? Or what adult day healthcare programs are in my city? And they call us, they don't call again. That's fine. They got what they needed, but we're still there. And then the other part of our services is that we have what we call registered clients. We'll get more into that later in the presentation. But what that means is they really just get fully connected with us and they have additional supports and additional services that are available to them. No matter what, both ways, our program is free. So we're not income-based at all, we're needs-based. And so our main areas of service, and the following slides will go a little bit more in depth into each of these, but we do support groups, we provide caregiver assessment and assistance with care planning, we provide education and training, which includes legal workshops. We also can provide individual counseling for our clients. We provide specialized information related specifically to caregiving and caregiving related issues. And then one of our most requested services is respite and assistance. And when we get to that, I'm sure you'll understand why that's very, very popular, very needed. Okay, so for support groups. So we offer support groups as an opportunity for caregivers to connect with each other. Really plain and simple, that's what it is. Caregiving can be extremely isolating. Maybe you can't leave the house because your loved one is fully dependent, and so they can't be left at home safely. And so, and friendships, sometimes they're impacted by your caregiving role because it's not everybody understands. And so support groups are a way for people to feel seen and heard by connecting with other caregivers. Our groups are held in person, virtually, and telephonically. So whichever modality somebody is most comfortable with, we get them connected with those options. We do have general caregiver support groups, or it's a mix of people who are caring for individuals with different diagnoses, or they are all different age ranges. And so there's these general groups, but then we also have some more focused groups, which are listed here. And actually, I realize we're starting to run out of room on this slide because we keep adding more groups just to meet the community's needs. But some of the ones that we have right now, we call it sandwich generation. So about 18 to 45, most of the attendees of that group are maybe in their 30s, caring for a parent, but also raising their own kids or trying to figure out a career or, you know, going back to school. So that's what that group is about. We have groups in Spanish and Vietnamese as well. We have a men's group. We have a group that focuses on caregivers for individuals experiencing aphasia. We have an art support group, a group for spouses. And then something I always like to point out is this transitions group. It's pretty unique in that it's not quite a grief group. It's really designed for people who have been caregiving and are transitioning out of that role. Because often, as I mentioned, caregiving can be really isolating. It can be 24/7 and it can be pretty all consuming. And when it stops, one of my colleagues always says it's almost kind of like whiplash, where it's just, what do I do now? And so that group really focuses on helping people reestablish who they are and that after caregiving role. Caregiver assessment and case management. So when clients do get registered with us, they get an assigned family consultant who's a master's level social worker or licensed. And they get to do an assessment where we really kind of look at their situation, see what their strengths are, see what their needs are, and then also really look at what resources may be available in the community to support them, to ease their way on their caregiving journey. And then we do those regularly. So every 6 months, we're often talking in between those 6 months a lot and providing support in between, but we do kind of an official check-in where we do this assessment every 6 months. Again, we provide education and training. Lots of different things that we're doing. We work with a lot of other agencies to provide information that our caregivers are looking for. They want information on palliative care, hospice, home health, legal support, help with body mechanics for transferring, all these different areas that people are needing this information because, you know, caregiving doesn't come with a manual. And I always tell my caregivers, this is often not something that we necessarily ask for when we're caregivers. Sometimes it falls into our lap, and there's a lot of beauty, joy, and sacredness in caregiving. But I always say, you know, I don't think when any of us were graduating from kindergarten and they held that little microphone up to and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't think anybody said caregiver. You know, we probably said a lot of different things, but caregiving will affect us all at some point in life, whether we need a caregiver, whether we become a caregiver. So this is just information, again, education and training. What's kind of neat too is, as Karen mentioned, we are one of 11 sites throughout the state, and clients and professionals and the community in general have access to all of our statewide educational opportunities. So anything that's being held virtually, our clients have access to Redwood CRC's education. You all have access to San Diego CRC's information and their classes too. So that's really nice that we've been able to provide more by coming together with all of our other parts of our statewide system. We can provide individual counseling. So if a caregiver is having just, you know, more struggle with their role, trying to figure things out, really adapting and adjusting, we can provide individual counseling. Again, it's with a master's level social worker or licensed, and that's overseen by licensed individuals no matter what. And then respite assistance. So I said this is one of our most popular services. So when we have funding, what we do is we can advocate for our clients to essentially get a break, to take some time away from caregiving, and it can look like a lot of different things. It might be us providing a grant so that they can have an in-home caregiver through a licensed and bonded agency, comes in, takes care of their loved ones so that they can go to the doctor, they can go to the movies. I have caregivers where they're like, I just went out to my car and I took a nap. And we're like, beautiful, because that's something that they need. You know, we all need our rest. It's oftentimes it's the basics that our caregivers are seeking. And so that's one way we can help, you know, reduce that stress. Another, it might be out-of-home care. So they might be having surgery, or their sister or child might be getting married and they need to go away for the weekend to San Diego where their loved one lives. And we work with boarding cares, state programs to help, again, you know, pay for those services. We also provide cleaning services when we can, and that is a little bit more appropriate for somebody who maybe, I'm thinking of, I had a client whose loved one was on hospice, and she didn't feel comfortable leaving her loved one. She wanted to be there as much as possible, but she was exhausted. And so cleaning the bathroom, scrubbing the floors was just, that was her big stress, and so we did a cleaning grant. We also can do, oh yes, of course.
Oh, as just wondering, we should, you know, the we're looking for gaps in services, but so when funding is available, do you have a wait list? What kind of funding is needed beyond what we currently
have? Sure. So we don't have a wait list. Our funding just it fluctuates because of, we are grant funded. And so these grants are generally one time, they're short term, but we do have clients that what I love about our agency is we're very case by case. So if somebody is in a situation where they really need support, there's people who've gotten more than one grant. But we haven't been in a situation where we've, at least since I've been here, that we haven't been able to provide support to a caregiver who needed it. We just say when funding is available because we saw a big change from when COVID was more flourishing, I guess I'm not sure the right word, but we had so much additional funding. It was, we were almost begging people to take grants, you know, and now there's significantly less, but we still have been able to provide what our clients have needed. So we do just always like to say that because it's not necessarily a guarantee for a lot of different reasons, but again, generally, I haven't really had a situation where we haven't been able to provide them.
So would you see one time?
Generally, yes. And so I'll explain a little bit about that because oftentimes when people get connected to us in crisis, they are so stressed out, they're overwhelmed, and they just got the diagnosis or somebody just had a fall, whatever it is. And so while these are extremely helpful, of course, they're not a permanent fix. And so part of this too is we do provide case management, and that's where that second part of our program I was talking about, where it's for registered clients. Well, we're easing their stress for now. At that same time, we're looking at the long-term options. You know, you have Medi-Cal, are you connected to the VA? What else is out there? And we can provide support with getting connected with some of those entities as well, so that there isn't always this need for a crisis intervention, but we've kind of helped level things out so that the hills and valleys aren't so significantly different. We also supplemental, so that's kind of like durable medical equipment or incontinence supplies, bed alarms. A while ago, we were able to do, we have a caregiver who was caring for a parent with dementia and was not able to have her own cat because she wouldn't be able to feed the cat, wouldn't really be able to take care of it. And so it would fall on the caregiver, which is just another stress. So we got like a robotic cat that meows, it purrs, it moves, and this care receiver loved it. She would put water out for the cat, hold the cat, and the caregiver was just like, I can't believe how helpful this little robot cat has been. And so we tried to be creative and really try to meet the needs of our caregiver. I will have to send that out to you afterwards so you guys can see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll see. So sometimes a little weirdly realistic. And so I think that's where, especially as somebody who's talking to the caregiver, some of those filters of realizing it's not real are diminished. And so it is this source of companionship and comfort. And I'm sure I'm going over on time, so I'll kind of go through these quickly so we can get to questions. Again, just specialized information, of course, related to caregiving and caregiving-related issues. And so, as I mentioned, our program's kind of twofold, where I think of it as unregistered and registered. These are the people that just call when they need help here and there. They may call once, they may call 10 times, who knows, it's really whatever they need. They have access to information and referral, classes, and groups. Then if somebody does want to get registered with us, that means they just want to have ongoing support. They want somebody to walk alongside them on their caregiving journey and really kind of be their go-to person for caregiving issues. So if they do get registered with us, they, of course, again, still do support groups and classes and have access to the specialized information and referral. But then they also get an assigned family consultant. That's their go-to person, their social worker. That's when we can do grants. They do have to be registered with us. That's when they can do individual counseling and then get that ongoing assessment and care planning. So they just have access to more. We have people who've been with our agency for 6 months, and we have people who've been there for 20 years. Because caregiving doesn't really get easier, it just gets different. And so people, there's not like a time limit. You can only do it for a year or anything like that. I do believe this is our last slide, so just so you're aware. There is a little bit of a process. I used to work for another agency that I would refer people to Caregiver Resource Center, and these are the details I wish I knew. So I like to share those when I do this presentation. If you have a caregiver that you want to get services for, if you yourself are a caregiver, you have a family member who's a caregiver, please don't hesitate to have them give us a call. We always have a social worker on the morning and afternoons available. They can complete an intake with the social worker. Usually takes about 20 to 30 minutes. It can take longer if a caregiver just really needs to talk, of course. Then they get assigned to their social worker. They do an assessment together, and that's when they would then be able to apply for the grant and really start getting some of those care plans in place and really providing that needed, you know, concrete support. We like to send this to everyone because as all of us who I'm sure are serving the community in a variety of capacities, it's easy for us to forget to take care of ourselves too, and especially caregivers. They have a really hard time taking time away for themselves without feeling guilty. So we like to remind people that it can be as simple as we're talking about our robotic cat, right? Pet a furry creature. Read or watch something funny. The one I'm always like, please be careful, do this with caution and climb a tree. Do that at your own risk. But it just can be a nice reminder to have. And this is our information. Again, as Karen mentioned, we are located in Fullerton, but we serve the entire county. We can be called for resources, information, questions, and you can also visit our website to get connected with groups or classes or anything else. And that's it. So then, any questions? Okay, we'll go here. Okay.
Just clarity.
Yes.
I'm thinking of forward in my own life locally, where one of the care provider or their loved one does not also reside in Orange County. They're going down to San Diego or to LA or down to Texas. And they call you for the unregistered service.
Oh, absolutely.
So carte blanche for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. People call us from all over the place, and we've had people who were with us and then they move out of state, they still call us for information, and we do our best to get them what it is they're looking for.
And then based on your experience, if you could give us, if one of us is an ally to somebody who is a family caregiver, some do's and don'ts, because I know when I was in person, people said, you know, just like when someone's grieving, they say the wrong thing.
Right.
So could you give us some instances very briefly?
Sure.
Of what would be a positive way that we could be an ally to someone and what we should avoid?
Sure. I would say a big thing to avoid is unsolicited advice, because I'm sure the person has thought of all those things before we've shared our ideas. And so even, you know, it's interesting, a lot of our staff either are caregivers or have been caregivers, and I manage most of the affairs and care for my grandmother. So as I mentioned, when we chose to place her, we got a lot of, well, why don't you just do this? Can't you keep her at home? Well, what about this? And I'm like, trust me, I've thought of every single thing already. And so caregivers are already questioning themselves all the time. They have so much weight on their shoulders of literally living their own life, which for a lot of us, that's enough of a struggle, right? Life is not always easy. But then they also have to care for someone else's life, you know, do their taxes, do their bills, make their appointments, manage all that. So I would say unsolicited advice is a big thing. So something that I like to do with our clients is I ask them, you know, are you looking for support? Or are you interested in solutions? Because sometimes they are looking for, you know, I can't find a caregiver. Where do I turn? You're like, wow, that's really hard. You know, they're like, no, I really, like, where can I find a caregiver? And so sometimes asking that question is a good thing. So I would avoid the unsolicited advice, but I would ask, are you looking for support or solutions?
Okay.
And that works for all of our relationships, not necessarily just here.
I just want to, yeah.
Exactly. Because a lot of times with caregivers, there's actually no answer. There's no cure for a lot of these diseases. There's no fix. So it is what it is, and it's just I need to talk about it.
Yeah,
great. Of course. Rock, paper, scissors.
Joni touched on it, but there are more people in this area, as an example, who are long distance caregiving out of state. Is there some reciprocity, or would the INR be able to help you direct you to your family members out of state?
Yes, so what we typically would do is our intake social workers probably answer the phone, talk to this person, gather some information, and then say, you know what, I'm not as familiar with the services in Indiana. Let me take a couple hours to do some research, and I'll get back to you by phone or email with some ideas or some options. And then even, I believe on our website, we have a few articles on long-distance caregiving and some video tips as well for managing that long-distance care. And then also, we really do try to serve as much as possible. And so sometimes we have individuals who their loved one technically lives in LA, but stays with them 5 days a week in Orange County. And then they have a paid caregiver on the weekend in LA. We will still try to do everything that we can to get them as many services as possible. So that's practically living in Orange County. Practically.
So when you're tracking unregistered kinds of calls, do you have any idea where those calls are coming from? Do you know if the Office on Aging 800 number is connecting those people to you directly?
Right. You know, for the unregistered clients, unless they've really kind of specifically told us, oh, I got your information from the Office on Aging, or I called Alzheimer's OC and I got your phone number, unless they've asked, we don't necessarily have that. But when they do get registered with us, we ask, how did you hear about it? And so they'll tell us exactly, you know, this person referred me, my office social worker, Office on Aging. But for unregistered, we don't have as much detail on that.
And then I noticed that you're not listed as an agency on our OC resources.
Okay, well, let's that's good to know. Yeah, that is good to know. If you ever see something where we should be, well, reach out to us, because we have, like I said, the thing is we're like this best kept secret, and we're like, no.
We're going to help you with that.
Yes, we appreciate that, because there's such a need, you know, there's so much need, and we're really here to serve.
And I just want to add on, going back to the understanding, or what I picked up on, is that we're really also looking for gaps, right? What are the gaps with this population? We can give you a list of so many gaps, and instead we wanted to present to you, this is the gaps can be found with the services that we are trying to provide. So for example, when it comes to educational classes, right, we're really trying to hit those evening time frames for those that work throughout the day. We're also trying to offer classes throughout the day for those that caregive 24/7. As you saw with Rachel presenting, our sandwich generation, young caregivers are a growing population, yeah, right? And so we're also trying to navigate that. They're caring for their little kids while trying to care for their adult parents. So that's another thing to keep in mind. It's something that just came to the top of my head is, if any of you know of a location, that's another gap. We're trying to find somewhere to do a presentation, in Central Orange County. And we've just been some go out there
on a regular basis or one time.
This just started because we're looking for a space to host a Spanish
classes and then a support group.
So that's another gap, these connections, right? That sometimes organizations don't talk to each other as much as we should. And so I just wanted to point out those additional.
Do you work with the senior centers? Because we could connect you to senior centers in Central Orange County. Mm-hmm.
So yes. I reached out to a few senior centers and they weren't able to host us. But I would love more options and more connections. I'm very open to that. And that's the thing too, if you have other people that you're working with or other organizations that you feel like would benefit from learning about what we do, we're always out in the community, you know, doing presentations or providing a class. It doesn't necessarily have to be this. It could be caregiving 101. It could be long-term care options. We do a lot of education, which, you know, another area too is, to me, that's a gap, is a lot of people don't realize they're caregivers. They don't think of that. You know, I'm not a caregiver. I just take my mom to her doctor's. I, you know, order my meds. That's no big deal. It's like, no, that's caregiving. It's just, again, there's a spectrum of caregiving, right? It could be 24/7, completely dependent. It could be, you know, assisting with these instrumental activities of daily living. So educating that, and then providing education throughout the community is, I think, the most accessible way for caregivers to get connected, because it's hard to reach out for help. Caregivers think they should be able to do everything. And so it could be a little scary to get connected one-on-one with a social worker. So the classes and groups are kind of like a way to ease somebody into getting more support.
I was just going to offer my center. We're located in Santa Ana, so definitely come and see how we can.
Please, all the
work.
I have called and looked at so many places, and so thank you in advance. We appreciate you.
Over here, and then there.
Would it be helpful if you need to make presentations to the senior centers so you can tell people about the services?
Oh, absolutely. And so we've done that a few times, a few senior centers, and my role is fairly new. I previously worked as one of our family consultants, so I carried this caseload, and now I get to do education and outreach. And so any places, I made a list of every senior center in Orange County. My goal is to start
We're all connected to each
senior center. So
we're going to do a recap and then offer
you want that. Yes, I would love that. We would love that.
That would be one of the things we would take the senior center to bring it up and then call you and make a presentation.
Yes, absolutely.
Also highlight what Rachel just said, right? My role didn't exist before. And so that's also what we with CRC, what we're really trying to do is fill in these gaps. When we hear there's a gap, how can we address it? You know, we heard from our staff, we need someone dedicated just to education. We cannot all do it.
Right.
Okay, let's revisit this, restructure, and now we get to have Rachel really showcase her potential authentically as well, right? And so we're trying to really fill in those gaps internally, and then that way we can work externally as well.
I think we have time for two more questions.
Okay. We were here. One, two.
I have a bunch of questions.
Well, you have to pick your favorite one.
And then email me and ask me. I'd love to answer you.
In place to, when they please see me afterwards.
Okay.
It's 5:40. I want to ask, I'm not sure if I understand exactly what you're doing. Do you have caregivers? Or do you just help caregivers?
So we help caregivers. And one of the ways that we help caregivers is we don't have the paid caregivers on staff. But what we do is we have a very extensive vendor list of agencies who've gotten vetted through Providence that we utilize for those grants. So if somebody called and said, hey, can you send me a caregiver? Unfortunately, we're not able to. But we work with other agencies who've been vetted. And that's who we utilize for the in-home care or the out-of-home care or cleaning. But we don't internally within our organization have paid caregivers.
Okay, that was clear on that. I
said that word, it gets confusing, you know.
What's your budget? What's your staff? And do your requests exceed your availability of volunteers, if you will?
So that's a loaded question. I'm more than happy to send your annual report. It's public information. It's on our website. Let me digest the question.
You can get back to us.
Okay.
Okay, one more.
We always accept
the final question. I didn't want to skip you.
I also have I work closely with Tufton Senior Center, and I think a lot of us here have a center in mind that can help you. What's the best way to connect you or get in touch with you?
Right. You know, of course, I didn't bring business cards. So what I can do is maybe I'll write my email up on the board here, and then all of you can just email me or call me, and I would be more than happy to get those emails and connect and see how we can support the community again.
I think we should be able to help you find some place.
Yes, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to add, I wanted to tie in a couple of things together. During last month's meeting, we gave a presentation of Office on Aging Programs overview. One of those programs is the Family Caregiver Support Program, which is part of the grants that we have contract with St. Jude to provide family caregiver services, someone that they spoke with. I know someone had mentioned about funding.
Yeah,
thank you. So I wanted to make sure that we tie that together. And a lot of that, definitely thank you for all the work that you do, because it is in terms of respite and caregiver access, information, education, the support groups, all of those services. So thank you for your time here to learn and express that.
And we're going to amplify everything that you're doing. But thank you so much.
Yes.
Wonderful. And I also have a bit of great news. Charlene has decided that she's up to the task of writing a check for us. So that's been one of our requests. So, but they're not going to be into the nitty gritty details, because the point of the staff is to get information out that's really easy to understand, it's very concise, and point people to where they need to go, but it's not going to have all the little nitty gritty details. So just know what you're expecting. So they can go out in a media blast, or it can go out in a newsletter and be used. So it won't be the same kind of presentation that we
did. It'll be in poetic form.
Yeah, maybe it'll come as an art.
Okay, so now we are on to number 9, Senior Center and City Liaison Updates. I'll just begin by saying that if you haven't seen the email, one of the last ones that Colleen sent out, we do have an updated Senior Center list. So the changes are in red. So look to see if the Senior Center that you were assigned to still has your name on it. There are a few changes because we have new members. For example, Power now has Sam Capistrano. So the executive of John, for example, has been working with Alan Capistrano. So if you see that your name is no longer on the Senior Center, because we now have someone that's living in that city, make that connection so that you can say what you've been up to and what you've been doing with the Senior Center. We have some temporary assignments based on volunteers from last time to take some of the workload off of Patty. We have like 80 Senior Centers under her name, of course. And then also, if you're assigned to a temporary Senior Center, just out of your area, one of your roles can be to try to find an older adult or a professional from that area to join the council so that we have all the representations. So if you want to try to work yourself out of a job, if it's not near you, that would be a really great idea. So that's the beginning of talking about the Senior Center. I also wanted to say that I'm going to be working on getting the city liaison onto that spreadsheet for next month's revision. So one of our goals is not only to connect with the Senior Centers, but also with the city managers or the public information officers. So that's another conduit for the recap and all the information that we're sharing, so that there's more than one mechanism to get this information out. And if you see mistakes, I know that Ann pointed out that we have new staff in Linda Miguel. So if you have an update, please let me know, and we'll update that on the monthly revise so that everything is as current as possible. I also wanted to mention that I did talk to Ben Lieberly. He used to be at the city of Linda Miguel. Now he's at the city of Fountain Valley, and he's part of the Parks and Rec Association. So most of the Senior Center directors belong to an association that helps them with their education and professional development. And they actually have an aging section that helps senior center directors with their programming and knowledge. So we're gonna be working more with them and seeing actually if we can get one of the senior center directors to join the council, because I think that that'll be a really good point of perspective and feedback into their kind of way of working, and it'll be a good connection for us. So we'll see if we can make that happen. I am a little cognizant of time because we do have our public hearing starting at 11:30 on the area plan. So instead of going around to every single member, like I think we'll have time to do next month, I just wanted to get there for 5 people that have anything that they can share from what's going on at their senior center that might be of note for their city.
Okay. Yeah. I was assigned the Korean American Senior Association of OC. It does not appear that it exists any longer. And if anybody has other information that we reach there, and we might reach that community in Garden Grove, please let me know.
So you called and like there was no answer? Yeah. Well, that's good. So that's something for us to mark on our list and see if we can figure that out. Any other senior center update? Yeah.
And our senior center has Glenn Day. We have the Orange County Fire Department come and talk about falls. And as you know, falls are a big deal with the seniors. Every 9 minutes, they're in the ER. But I did point out that I worked at the hospital. And when you go around corners, you walk like a duck.
Uh-oh.
And a duck. Would you like me to demonstrate?
Yeah.
And when I get out of bed, I walk like a full back.
Okay.
I'll tell you how to go around the corner. And this will get you your bearings. Walk like a duck.
Okay, watch out for that cord.
Yeah.
That's another option.
I know.
Walk like this. And it gives you your bearing. And
yeah.
And you hang on to this.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome. I hope it helps you.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing, there's a lot going on, but I have to notice maintenance listed at the COH, but I will do it depending on anything to take on and really even. Also, they're doing a day care center, Orange County Alzheimer's.
Okay, you don't know they do that.
Yeah. And doing a day care center in Leisure World.
We have an adult behavioral care center on El Toro Road in Laguna Woods. And then in Seal Beach Leisure World, we are starting a social day program inside the gates, strictly for residents inside Leisure World. So we
play.
Yeah, that's right.
And they have a space now and they're in training.
Yes.
Wonderful. We need that at every part of the town. Who else wanted to? I thought one of them.
I'm going to cover Laguna Beach Senior Center for a day.
You already passed off the room.
You are smooth, Dave.
You too, I believe. That, yes. No, you also do. Yeah.
No, this will be my first one.
Now I put your name on, so.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. So you may want to think about taking Laguna Beach the whole time. Everyone check the spreadsheet if you haven't seen it before.
Just a quick update. I'm really happy to announce that Costa Mesa finally is offering a little bit of Spanish, offering counseling in Spanish as well as art classes in Spanish. And we have completed the first round of public input for the January housing project for low income housing that will be on the property of the Coast Mesa Kingdom.
Well, very nice. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good thing
you. No, we need more housing, definitely. Mm-hmm. Right, anyone else? All right. So your assignment is
I just want to let everybody know that we had tremendous success taking the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative Senior Needs Survey out to the senior center. Particularly want to thank anybody who's affiliated with AgeWell.
Oh, I was going to ask that out.
All their senior centers were extremely cooperative, and AgeWell really helped us out. So it's another example of really excellent collaboration among the members of the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative, and we are tabulating those results, and that will then be part of the process that it informs the area report on aging, and will then be part of the response that we collectively submit for the master plan for aging.
Wonderful. Thank you for all of your leadership. That was a lot of work. That'll be interesting for us too, as a commission, to have the results.
Well, it is interesting because the survey was designed to be distributed out to mirror 1% of our census demographic exactly the way the data had been collected. So ethnic groups, et cetera. And it looks like we were successful in getting back responses from the same measure of ethnicity and different cultural groups in the county. So that was the particularly challenging focus of the surveys to get it out, but to have the appropriate representation of the diversity of our community. And I believe we have accomplished that.
All right, well then now we're on chair items. So under new business, we wanted to discuss the C4A conference is coming up in May. So for those that are dealing with acronym soup, which is always hard in every industry, C4A is the Association of the California Area Agencies on Aging. So the Office on Aging, also the Area Agency on Aging, kind of their interchangeable terms, and belong to C4A, which is the association. So every year, our members, depending on the budget and where it is, are invited to attend. This year, the Office on Aging is able to budget two members of our commission to go because the conference is in Northern California, kind of in San Jose. So Crystal and I both have a desire to attend this conference as chair and vice chair, but I wanted to open it up and see if everyone is amenable to that. It's the first weekend. It's the first weekend of May, right?
Well, I would love to go. Is there a stipend for that?
For two people.
For two.
Yeah. If it's in Southern California, sometimes there's a stipend for four.
Do they switch off every other year?
Every 2 years. Every two years, they try to host down in the South State area, and then can travel back up to the North to allow the North County agencies to attend.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'd like to add, but I'm going to direct the stipend. I'm paying my own list. Okay, all I need is for the registration fee. I think it's $400 or whatever it is. So just a thought.
I'm sorry, John. We can talk offline afterwards in regards to that. We have a set budget for that.
Yeah.
All right.
And of course, we'll report back. I understand that Riverside County has followed our lead and now has one committee instead of having subcommittees. So I'll be interesting to hear how many other of the groups are moving to this format.
Okay. Right. They're much smaller organization than you folks.
Yeah.
Right now, I think they got a number of meetings.
Yeah, they're working on recruitment.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers is there. Okay, the second thing I wanted to share is that we do have our new application for commission membership. So thank you so much, Monica. You do have a copy available if people want to see it.
It's online. You posted it on the office website. I did bring a copy for you.
Yeah. So after the meeting, if you want to look at the sample copy that we have, you're free to, but it is online. So when you are working with others that may want to join us, especially for the cities that we don't have representative, if you're a temporary rep, that application is available online and it's a billable application. So that's really nice. People can type right into it. So thank you so much for getting that done. It updated our name and it removed the funk committee. So it's now up to date. I also wanted to share that next month we are not going to have a presentation, but we are going to be digging into legislation, budget, and regulatory update. So things are really happening right now at the state for those of us that do this full time. All the new bills are being introduced. There's negotiations with amendments already. Authors are looking for support. So John will be connecting to get that settled so that we can talk about what's going on at the state level.
Just a question. Will be great. Other than that, next month, will we advocate for or against? Right.
We can't as a council, but we can work with the Office on Aging and Elizabeth to make our voice heard with the county, who then has their own process.
Yeah, our county does have a legislative representative, and so we'll be following up to see what type of information we just want from you, some feedback on what are some of the information on the legislative side that is important of information you want to know, so that we can take that back and have some conversations on how we can bring some information.
Wait, so are you saying that we are going to get information from the county for us, or we're going to be giving our opinion to you to share with us?
No, I believe you still have pending, so correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you're pending to need to discuss about what type of information on legislative affairs is it that you're interested or needing or want to hear more about in terms of how it relates to our county. And so if that is the case, we'd love to hear what that is so that we can take that back and bring some information forward.
I think that, yeah, I thought we were talking about this. I think that between John and I and whoever else is privy to working with the state, we're going to have bills that we think impact aging services in Orange County. We want to talk about them, and then we want to ask the board if we think it's appropriate to support our opinion.
Let's say, Claudia, I came back to the committee here and said, CSL has a proposal that was picked up involving personal needs allowance from an increase of $35 to whatever it's going to be. The funding proposal this time around is not from the general fund, but it's from the cost of living increase that was received in both periods. So it's not necessarily impacted by the budget deficit. Now that's argumentative perhaps, but so would the county be interested in supporting something?
That's how I thought we were going to make it work.
Right. Otherwise, we would just bring it and say, now you can go through the portal within the state legislature, express your own
private
personal opinion as a non-member of this committee. That's the other option.
Yes.
One follow-up. Us on the city council, we all have lobbyists up there also.
Yeah.
So if something fits in, we can go back to our city and request our lobbyists and do letters ourselves also.
Yeah. Just not on behalf of the
city. No, but it'd be on our
own. So you'll have the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please before that, I'm not, if you're a government agency, you're not allowed to vote one way or the other. But you can't take your position until we do the city council, but they will probably the one. Against it very much. We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to put money towards your advocate. So I think we're probably, this we're going to fight all the stakeholders. So we have an opinion on something, we can say, this is our opinion on an advocate or anything else, but we can say this is our opinion. We should have the details on what we can.
That's not the way I have understood it. As a body, that we cannot advocate for legislation or oppose legislation, but what we can do is communicate that to the county council office so they have feedback from the seniors, and then the county council, in conjunction with the board of supervisors, determines what the county position is. Very well said. That's what I understood. Yeah.
So as an example, the county came to me and asked for a letter of support on legislation that the county was submitting on an aging issue. I said, sure. And went through the system and provided a letter of support. And I can't remember what the legislation was, but so that was the reverse approach. So I was surprised, but I was happy to do it. So maybe there's another avenue. Maybe the road can be reversed, and maybe there's some way to do that as well when we come forward and say that certain legislation that we think is universally a no-brainer in terms of impacting the aging community and promoting our values. So anyway, we'll see where it goes.
And I mean, said it correctly in that it is because your role as an advisory commission is you don't propose, you don't support, you don't provide that legislative affair, but you can make a recommendation in terms of this is what is the heart interest, and it, you know, it comes to us and propose that to, as mentioned, to the board.
Yeah,
So that's that's an interesting point, Claudia, in terms of, I was going to say Bagley King, but the Brown end, because the Brown Act treats this group as an advisory, not a legislative.
Right.
We're treated as legislative. It's way different in terms of what you can do. So that's an interesting angle I hadn't thought of. I don't know if that impacts your Bagley, your Brown Act provision or not. So
Sean, are you speaking from the perspective of CSL?
Yeah.
When you tell it, I don't think everyone understands that.
So the Brown Act is for the county.
Yeah.
That's the Open Meeting Act that provides provisions for how you operate. But you're operating as an advisory committee. An example for Meredith is at the state level, OCCOA, where they have their TAC meetings and that kind of thing, the commission meeting, are acting as advisory committee meetings. When I have my meetings, I'm in a legislative body.
And when John says my meetings, he's referring to the California Senior Legislature, not this body here.
So I'm not an advisory committee. I'm a legislative committee, and I've got a different set of rules. That will become much clearer if 817 passes. 817 is a Brown Act provision involving hybrid meetings. Okay, so and
attorney.
Back to the virtual format in the COVID era.
Yeah.
So if you haven't taken a look at 817, please do read the advisory committee that's on the Senate floor right now. Wow. That's an eye opener. Okay, so it'll be very interesting.
So hopefully we've whetted everyone's appetite that we're going to have a lively meeting.
Is that SB or AB? SB or AB?
SB.
SB.
All right. The other comment that I have is that our executive board did meet, and we communicated with Claudia, and we'll share with Elizabeth that we're still looking for the QR code and information so that we can get more information out that's really easy for everyone to use on the 1-800 number. So we are pursuing that. That's the end of my comments. Now I'll hand it over to Claudia from Office on Aging.
Thank you. Thank you, Meredith. Well, one of the updates you already gave was the C4A. So wanted to make sure that we get that information so that we can follow up and start the process of registration and all the travel arrangements. Also, as you all are aware, we have the public hearing for our area plan following this meeting. The public and other members of the public are open to attend. In regards to pending updates and flyer during the last meeting, we did say that we're definitely taking a look at all our marketing materials across our agency, our programs, and of course working with our service providers to make sure that we have updated materials internally for us. What that means, yes, our direct services such as that information and assistance program, the resource application, all of that, in order for us to market for that, we've been adding a little bit modernizing like QR codes and things that make it a little bit easier accessible to access. So we're almost done. I hope here in the next week or so that we can get that particular flyer you've been asking for taken care of. In addition to just general brochures so that you have some information and you can share with me when you're out on liaisons at the senior centers. So that more to come, so we'll keep you updated on that. Other than that, Elizabeth, thank you and welcome. So that was my other update. Elizabeth will be joining the meetings moving forward, and any communication from the executive committee, of course, will funnel through Elizabeth, and we will work together so we make sure that we keep the communication open and all our administrative, to-dos to make sure that we have a good approval process through our meetings. So she will also then be leading our presentation on the area plan after this meeting. So we hope to see some of you there, and I'm sure we'll have some great comments from that meeting. Other than that, we hope too that Office on Aging will be able to be present at the C4A conference. Given that it is upstate and we have a set amount, we also will only be able to provide a couple of individuals to attend. So we're making that, hopefully, that determination and we can start those plans. Other than that, that is all I have to be. Is there anything else, Elizabeth, I want to know more to you?
I don't have any questions at this moment. I'm just happy to be part of OAC.
Thank you.
Is there a senior summit this year? Is there any discussion around that in Southport?
None that I can speak up at this time. Yeah. Thank you.
I can ask the board of supervisors, though, if that's something that we want to follow up on.
Yeah. I think it's a
And we also need to get feedback because the accessibility wasn't good.
Supervisor Foley's office was the one that was working.
Yeah.
And Aaron was, I think, sort of the lead on that as well.
Yeah, that last summit was in October, end of October. Today, yes, none information or at least certain questions coming forth yet.
Yeah. I'm assuming it'll be, if it is, it's some kind of getting that kind of. Yeah.
Well, it's a social, we need to get feedback. I've watched a lot of people that almost fell down the stairs, and a lot of things were going on. It's very concerning the way it was set up. Yeah. So.
Beautiful location.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very convenient. Well, thank you, Claudia. All right, so presentation schedule. I just want to thank Sammy and Barbara. And Barbara, I know you were sweating it till the end, but we had a great presentation today that was really informative. So thank you for all of your coordination on that.
But Jack Lyon is ill.
Yes. So. Yeah. So I know it's a lot of going back and forth, so we really appreciate it. And you too, Sandy. Thank you so much. You want to, either one of you or both of you, give an update on what's coming up?
Sandy has all the school talks. As you mentioned, next month we're not going to have a speaker. We're going to do a working session.
Yeah.
And then in May, we have a presentation from Eric and Brenda on the veteran services, which we've heard in the board is very good.
So much.
There's so much stuff that we learned that we didn't know about. And then in June, we have elder law and disability rights training from Brooke Weitzman. And she spoke at one of the other subcommittees. And we said, I think it was very good. And so that was a recommendation. That's where we are so far.
Are we ever going to get a report of the results of the OT advance survey that was done in December? Your question about it?
I don't know. What was that? So the county survey that we sent, OT advance, are we ever going to see a report on that with all of the findings and
The county is underway of finalizing, reviewing the analysis so that they can prepare that for a report out. So at this time, I'm not able to share any timelines of when and how that will happen, but it is underway.
So that's not the Office on Aging.
That is not correct.
Which agency does that, or which department?
At this time, it is a collaborative effort, the county, so there are several agencies that are involved to help coordinate that, and so the analysis of that older needs assessment is pending on the next steps and how to report that out. So in terms of what our role is that we participate, of course, so that we can provide feedback very similar, like as an advisory on anything aging or service and populations, contracts, anything that can tie to, depending on what those results look like.
So who will that report ultimately go to and what will it impact?
We don't have that information at this time in that analysis until it's pending. So I'm not able to speak on that, and I don't have that information and don't want to speak out of turn.
I hope probably did you get an estimation by next meeting?
Say that again.
I said it's probably they're not getting it done. Did you get an estimate by next meeting? And when they're gonna get that so we have it to plan the next few years.
I will follow up and see if there's any information that I may be able to share.
Thank you. I also
want to just report. There was a speaker for the elder abuse.
Weitzman, executive director.
I have her contact info in my phone, so if you want to.
She's a great speaker.
Yep.
All right, now we're on to 13 announcements by commission members. Does anyone have an announcement that they would like to share?
Senior Rally Day, May 8th. Okay, it will be virtual. May 8th. The program will begin at 10 a.m. There will be a morning program focused on a series of presentations. The theme this year will be LTSS,
which means long-term services and support.
And then the afternoon session will be on advocacy, taking the, again, the theme of LTSS and focusing on budget and legislation. So if there is a specific item involving long-term service support that we can identify legislation as well, we're going to present that, have the legislator, more likely a staff member, speak to it, and then we're also further information involving the final outcome of the budget, which yesterday there was a budget subcommittee meeting.
Okay.
Did not sound good. I think one of the comments was ugly. Okay, that's the thing what I heard. So I'll have more information on the on that. There that is allegedly recorded.
It is, it's on the web page.
So we can share that with you all too. You might get a firsthand look at what you're looking at in terms of a final budget signed. Hopefully in June, so we'll see.
Is that, it's virtual, it's online, is that open to anybody who wants
yes.
to? So how do we?
I can send Elizabeth the Senate web page link, and the, I'll look for the recording, and then you can click on it and watch it. It's subcommittee 3, I think. So yes. That's great.
That was that.
And then long-term services and support, just to make it so that people that are newer to this field understand, is everything that people need with their functional needs that we heard about earlier outside of an institution. So it's helping people live in the community with the supports that they need. It could be home modifications, it could be caregiving, it could be a lot of the support that you were talking about. So that's what that is. I hear people, that's one of your other acronyms. We should have an acronym.
Or I think that's what he falls behind you, Claire. Clean it up after I.
LTSS, yes. Okay, any other announcements?
Yeah, I got
yeah.
one.
Okay, great.
I hope you'll all join me. If this is the last announcement.
Yeah.
I hope you all join me. Because we have something to celebrate today.
Oh.
And let there be cake. Mm-hmm. So if you go join me and singing happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
And if you're gluten-free, no problem. It's a gluten-free carrot cake. I'm told I'm not allowed to light the candles.
All right.
Oh. 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 Oh.